Good evening. This is All India Radio, Vijayawada. In our weekly program of English Talks, we bring you an interview with Professor Amreshwar Galla, Chief Curator and Director, Amravati Heritage Center and Museum. On the topic, Amravati School of Art, Mirror to the Glorious Past. The interviewer is Mr. Chunduri Mahesh.
India, a great country known for its vast culture and a lot of traditions and customs. So, in those thousands of customs and traditions and various schools of art and culture, we have in this part of the world a very great art in the yesteryears years known as Amaravati School of Art. So, that's a great reflection of our glorious past. And fortunately, today we have with us an executive director of the International Institute for the Inclusive Museum of Australia, Professor Dr. Amreshwar Galla. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
We are very happy to be there with you today in our studios.
And I'm
we would like
to be
you
here.
Yeah. So we would like you to speak the glory of the Amaravati School of Art, which existed in this part of the world some centuries back, and the various measures that we may have to take to again revive that glorious past.
Well, let me first say it's a great honor and pleasure to be on All India Radio after, 45 years. And again, Amaravati School of Art is a concept. It's an aesthetic conceptualization by people who are not Telugu, like the British and Americans and others. They could see that there's a whole distinct form of art that evolved over here. Then also one of the great art historians of India, C. Shivaramurthy, he also sort of studied and conceptualized it in different ways. But what is it? And what authority do I have to speak about it? Well, when I was working on my PhD with one A.L. Basham, who wrote the book The Wonder That Was India, he sent me to London to work on the Amaravati sculptures in the British Museum. And I took the opportunity also to go to Musée in Paris, Institut Kern in Leiden, and other places, and to study these sculptures that come from Amaravati mainly. And in one sense, one of the greatest historians of Andhra Pradesh, Mallampally Somasekhar Sharma, once said that if you want to look at the history of Telugu people, you take a mirror, throw it on the floor. And in the broken fragments, you look at yourself, and that is what it's like. So the challenge that he threw to the next generation, that's my generation, is that how do we piece it together? How do we bring it all together so that we understand who we are as Telugu people, who we are as Andhra people, what is our sense of place and identity? In this idea of our sense of place and identity, the Amaravati School of Art plays a very important role. It's the first time, you know, in the transition from the so-called megalithic or pontical stage between 9th century BC and say about 2nd century BC, that you get this peninsular, the whole of peninsular India, one kind of Iron Age as it's called, with the megaliths. And then suddenly by 4th century BC, you start having changes taking place in the lower river Krishna Valley, with the introduction of new ways of thinking, new technologies like iron plowshare, agrarian calendar. Perhaps they were all brought by, you know, wandering Jain and Buddhist monks, mainly Buddhist monks, to lower river Krishna Valley. We don't know. But based on current evidence, that's what we think. But it was during this period that, you know, changes started taking place. And in those changes, sedentary communities evolving started building monuments. Not just settlements, but monuments as well. And with the introduction of Buddhism in the early days, from about 4th century BC till about 1st century BC, we mainly had Theravada Buddhism or early form of Buddhism. And in which, you know, Buddha was not worshipped in any human form. Anything symbolic like the Bodhi tree or the Dharmachakra or his throne or feet were worshipped. We start getting that in Amaravati Stupa, which is one of the largest in South Asia. But the way it evolved, the actual technique the creativity, the craftsmanship, it's quite unique. You don't get it anywhere else in India, you know, for that matter. And so it is the local people using limestone from the Palnadu area, local carvers, you know, who did this. So this is where the unique Amaravati sculptural tradition started evolving as distinct. But also the other thing is that by about 1st century BC to 1st century AD, we start having the Mahasangikas becoming dominant, new ways of thinking and a transition from Theravada to Mahayana Buddhism taking place. In that, there's a fundamental shift. In Theravada Buddhism, you're responsible for your own Buddhahood. There's the middle path and you pursue your own search towards Nirvana. So everything that you gave, you donated to the stupa was very much for your own Nirvana, if you will. However, in Mahayana Buddhism, people donated for the greater good of the society, for the community. And also in this, you start getting that if Buddhahood is not possible in one lifetime, it could be many lifetimes. And the idea of the Bodhisattva, Buddha going through many stages before achieving Buddhahood, also started getting popular. And it was during this period you start getting the beautiful iconic representation of Buddha as a human being. And what we call in Amaravati School of Art, and very well known in Vietnam, Indonesia, Myanmar, Cambodia, everywhere, is the Amaravati Standing Buddha. Right? You've got a couple of beautiful examples in Nagarjunasagar. And this Amaravati Standing Buddha, you know, with Abhaya Hasta, and it's just beautiful. So there's a whole tradition, huge amount of carving took place in not only in Amaravati, but many places throughout what was then we would have thought was Andhra Desha, because we didn't have all this present-day political boundaries those days. And so it's this aesthetic that was understood by Western art historians and called Amaravati School.
That's why did it take place here? Because the sculptors or the artisans were available here. They came from that formless state of expression to some kind of form of a Buddha.
You're absolutely right. It comes with that sedentarization. With the introduction of intensive agriculture, large number of sedentary communities started being established. What we get by 4th century BC is this amazing port town called Dhanyakataka, which is the ancient name of, you know, Amaravati Dharanakota, right? And with these sedentary communities, there was trade and all kinds of things, a kind of affluence. And like in any affluent communities, you know, societies, there was the provision where they could sponsor, support, provide patronage for artists. And that's what provided the, you know, the socioeconomic context for the evolution of such an amazing school of art.
So we were flourishing so much at that time.
Yeah, we, Amaravati has yielded Roman gold coins, ore, denarii, many coins, Satavana coins, pottery, Roman amphorae. So the trade was flourishing, which means it was an affluent society. An affluent society that was, that, you know, that provide patronage for Buddhism. I'm not saying it was Buddhist alone, because we had Jainism, we had other Brahmanical faiths. If you go to Nagarjunakonda, you get Brahmanical temples too, you know, along with all the Buddhist remains. Amaravati probably had the same thing. However, the patronage is what was critical. Having artists is one thing, but keeping them and supporting them. I mean, this is a message for all present-day Telugu people too. Having artists is not just enough, but they need to be supported. There needs to be patronage, and that's what was found in Amaravati.
And what is very much required even now today.
Absolutely.
So in this context, what is happening with this school of art now?
What's happening with that school of art? I think we need to teach in more colleges and the university departments our history in depth. Not through Google, but history in depth. And we need to also teach history of art in depth. And then I think we can raise awareness. We can raise the consciousness among Telugu people about the richness of one of the aspects of their culture. We had many aspects as Telugu people. This is one of them. So I think that's one thing. Second thing is that the state is cooperating along with Telangana. There are 12 museums in India which are supporting this. There's a major exhibition at the end of next year in New York called Southern Buddhism, which predominantly reflects Amravati School of Art. It opens on the 9th of November next year. So that means the whole world is recognizing our School of Art. And I think it's really important that we take this opportunity to promote among our own people a cultural consciousness about the richness of our past and the amazing heritage that Andhra people once had.
And there must be definitely a great patronage. Then only we can again revive it and bring it back to that past glory.
If you go through the inscriptions from Amaravati, for that matter, all over, you know, Andhra or Telangana, as we now say, what you find is that the trade is Vanija. You know, there are a lot of traders donated, a lot of women donated. Kings mainly supported Shaivism and so on, but it's the women who are the main patrons of Buddhism in Andhra. We need that kind of philanthropy and that kind of heart. Right now, you know, real estate prices go up and down and people's focus is there. The kind of generosity, the kind of philanthropy with which Andhra people supported, whether they are poets, whether they are artists, sculptors, how do we bring this back? I mean, this is the challenge that we've got. And I know Lepakshi is doing a fantastic job, but still, you know, as an official government entity, there's only so much they can do. It's the non-government entities too that need to support the creativity and culture of Telugu people. And I think that our future will largely depend on how generous we are to our own culture, our own ancestors. So people talk about wonderful words like Sanskriti, Sabhyata, Sampradayam, Varasatvam. These are beautiful words. Each one evokes a whole feeling, a whole way of life. But these things need to be understood.
Must be translated into action.
Translated into action, understood from within oneself, within the community. Then I think that, you know, whether it's Amravati School of Art or any other school of art, may I take this opportunity to say that we had one of the greatest artists of 1950s and 60s in Rajahmundry. But not many people know about him, Damanla Ramarao. He's collected all over the world, but not. We need to do that here. We need to recognize our contemporary artists in all forms. We need to recognize our dancers, not just in the classical tradition, but in the creative tradition, because Jivana Varasatvam is not frozen in time. It's constantly evolving. It's constantly changing. We are very dynamic people as Telugu people. That means our culture is also changing. So we need to provide patronage for that change.
Just tell me in brief, because even now the state in which Andhra Pradesh is, there, in which the education is rather commercialized and everybody is just going for a good livelihood instead of preserving our culture, tradition and other things. So in this situation, there should be a very good remedy. A revolution must take place, then only then we can get back all the past.
I think you said it. You said good life. It depends what good means. I lived for 4.5 years in Denmark, in Copenhagen, which is listed with quality of life indicators as the happiest city in the world, right? I lived there for 4.5 years. It is incredible how much the Danes put resources into their creativity, culture. People read books. We need to revive the tradition of reading books where people are into creativity, arts, dance, you name it. Danes are happy because culture is an integral part of their everyday life. It's not an optional extra.
Yeah. Yes, it should be into our system as a wholehearted system, and it should be there with our lives, and it should just flow. It's not, as you said, it's not an option, but it's a must in our life.
Okay, I'm a United Nations advisor on these issues, so if I can wear my UN hat, I would like to say to your audience this little bit, that we are really pushing sustainable development goals, Agenda 2030. India is a very big contributor. India is contributing trillions of dollars over the next 15 years or 12 years left. One of the things that we're really emphasizing is culture is an integral part of development. You take mental health, for instance. How much money do we spend on mental health? How much money do we spend preventing suicide, youth suicide? How much time, money do we spend trying to deal with domestic violence, women's abuse and everything? all these things can be minimized by valuing culture.
Yeah.
And I think that culture should not be seen as an optional extra. It's like saying that eating your meals, it's an extra. Can you say that? No. So culture is like that essential intake, that food that our brains
need. It's your bread and butter.
Bread and butter. Yeah, absolutely. You said it.
Yeah. Okay, sir. Thank you very much indeed. And
thank you.
We had a very good time with you, and our audience really are very much happy.
Yeah, I hope so. You're very kind, and it's wonderful to come back after 43 years to Andhra Pradesh. I love Andhra Pradesh. I love Telugu people. I think we have such depth of culture, history, and heritage. Please, we have to value it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much indeed.
That was an interview with Professor Amreshwar Galla, Chief Curator and Director, Amravati Heritage Center and Museum. On the topic, Amravati School of Art, Mirror to the Glorious Past. The interviewer was Mr. Chunduri Mahesh. This program came to you from the studios of All India Radio Vijayawada. Please stand by for the next program.